And I would like to just share with you about the vision God's given us, and we want to make it a little bit clearer and help you understand the three phases of the vision that we're going to be doing. Brad's going to give us a bit of a background.
You'll see, and then we're going to have a handout here in a few minutes, but just the changing of the times. We've talked about this before, and we've personally experienced it. Many folks, many of us in here have. Some of the things that we've learned are so critically important for others to hear and know. And we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. But just this week, you know, I've always told stories about meeting with clients and stuff like that. But just this week, I had three different conversations, three different marriages that are basically getting ready to be separated, none of which were adultery or any of that kind of thing, personalities. Two Christian, one guy, one couple was not. And they have nothing to hold on to. They have no direction. They have no instruction. They have nobody to walk with them through it. I was with this one in particular, and we were there for business reasons, and this lady just kept going on and on and on and on about, if I hear this from my husband one more time, I'm going to... I was like, oh, my Lord. So I stopped and I said, well, let me ask you, what do you think, what would be the one thing he could do to help change things? And I said, and in addition to that question, does he have anybody that he can talk to about walking through this? You know, and these are both very, husband and wife, very committed Christians. She goes, yeah, actually, you know, it's funny you asked that. I've had two or three men in the church offer to take him through a Bible study. And he didn't do it. He hadn't done it. Now, if he'd do that, that might make something. I said, you know, so you're not going to like what I'm getting ready to say? Your husband does not need a Bible study. Gasp. She couldn't believe it. I said, no, your husband doesn't need that. Your husband needs to know. You have male and female differences, personality differences, upbringing differences, and those three alone would be enough to make anybody go crazy. I said, your husband needs to know how to pursue you. He needs to know how to meet your needs. He needs to know how to make you happy because, and she said, well, he's got such a bad temper. I said, he got such a bad temper because he feels like a failure. And you're helping him to make him feel like a failure. Because of what your idea of what he needs to do to make him good is not the answer. And for him to be able to, you know, he needs to know how to meet your needs. He needs to know how to put up, you know, how to deal with feelings. And I said, if he doesn't have anybody to help him, and she said, we went through this Bible study. I said, well, you know, a 13-week study on King David or Daniel in the lion's den with King Nebuchadnezzar. I said, that's not, you know, he needs to know how to meet your needs, how to feel like a man, you know, be authentic. I said, unfortunately, the church has taught here's what it looks like, and he can't measure up to it, so he can't do it. And so, and I asked her, I said, when's the last time you talked to somebody, and the lady that you talked to was telling you about her frustrations and her struggles and how she's helped walk through this in her marriage? And she said, well, I said, what happened the last time you talked? She said, well, she asked me when I was having my quiet time, you know, when was I doing my Bible studies? And I said, well, if that's the first question she asked you, and you haven't had it every day for an hour and a half, then you feel like a failure and you stop it, you don't listen to the rest of it. I said, you know, that's not the kind of thing you need. So anyway, Christian or not, it's been very disturbing to see in many different areas. You know, marriage is one that I happen to see quite a bit, but it doesn't have to be that. It can be finances, like Daryl just mentioned, you know, how to manage finances. You know, how is it to live life being single, and how do you navigate through these waters in these times? And people, when they get sick and they don't have anybody that they can call and talk to, you know, those are the kind of things that we're seeing. Christian or not, they're coming to the end of themselves and they don't know what to do. And, you know, they're just looking for a friend or someone to help in that situation and be there for them. And so those are the first observations that I've seen.
We live in a different age. It used to be that people transmitted this information down. It would go from parents to children. But when life changed in our society. We moved away from an agricultural society. People stopped spending time together and sharing those important things. And therefore, people today are left clueless about situations. And the Word of God speaks to so many of these different avenues that it's important for us to be able to share that. We have something, I think, that's just marvelous. That's the Word of God. Thousands of years it has provided the framework for basic societal living. And we've gotten now to where everybody's just out doing whatever they want to do, and they're finding out that whatever they want to do isn't working. And they're crashing and burning in so many different fronts. So one of the things we want to do is provide for that. We see that as a big need. The fellowship has been unique in the way that it's handled some things. Our congregation, as you know, is a ministry. And it's really more than just being a congregation, because we're equipping people to go out and do things. And so people, a lot of our folks speak with people a lot and share with them in their lives in these hard places. So we're a ministry dedicated to equipping believers and sharing the love and grace and power of relationship with God among people who don't really know Him. They might know about Him, but they don't really know Him. Two parts of that are to provide training, life training. That's a big difference. It's not just head knowledge, just not so that you would fill notebooks and have those things and be able to pass a test, but it's so that you'd have life knowledge, life training, basing that on the Word of God, so that equip believers from all denominations to live the abundant life. That's going to be part of what we're doing. We're broadening out from our congregation and going bigger than just us. And we're reaching out to people who don't walk with God, sharing His love and showing them His offer of salvation and ways to enhance their human experience as they live life here. How we're doing this? Well, we've done this for a long time. You know, I teach at the seminary, and a lot of the stuff we've learned here we take into the seminary. Hundreds of congregations have been affected by what's happened in our congregation. Thousands of people have been touched that way. And then we've got stuff up on the website. In the last 35, 40 days, we've had 32 different people from 32 different countries tap into our website. We had 163 people hit our website last Wednesday. Now, I don't know who they are. I can't tell you exactly how many countries, because some of them come with Google listed because they're searching just Google off of their country and it leaves a tag on that. Others are searching, they just type in Google and they come off our settings. And so I don't know where, but we're having a lot of people come in and tap into things. I can see what pages they're going to and what they're doing. So they're pulling for verses. They're pulling for the backgrounds. But they're also going to the seminars and pulling from those. So we're beginning to affect people beyond us. And that's one of the things that we're wanting to provide. In doing that, the Lord's given to me a vision of three phases. Each phase gets more difficult. That's how things tend to go, isn't it? Each phase gets more impossible for us to accomplish. Each phase, it's taken me a while when the third phase came into being in my understanding. It blew me out. It really did. It took me some weeks to even just get my head around that one, because it was bigger than what I'd been thinking. I had parts. So the way visions come is you tend to have different pieces, at least for me it's this way, get different pieces of things. And as you get closer to the time when God's going to manifest that, you get more clarity about how things are going to work, and you get more information and more revelation from God about what's going to take place. So today we'd like to explain to you phase one. We've mentioned some of this before. We want to explain to you these phases, and we want to take the full time this morning on phase one. Phase one is reaching out to other people and showing them the care of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said this in Matthew 25 and verse 40. You remember where He said, if you give a cup of cold water in My name, remember that? You provide clothes for somebody that needs them. They're sick, you visit them. You do whatever the need is. You're providing for the need, is what He's saying. And it's not you throw money at them. It's that you provide, you help them. You do something for them. It's your involvement. It's not paying somebody else to do it. That tends to be the Christian way in our society. We pay people to go be professionals to do this, and we don't do it. But the Lord said that we're supposed to get involved. We're supposed to be doing the things. I mean, He's incarnational, right? He didn't throw money at the earth to deal with problems. He didn't send somebody else here. He came. Incarnation. And so our job is to go get involved, to mix up. Is it going to always be great? No. Will it sometimes be messy? Yes. Will it sometimes stink? Yeah. Will everything turn out right? No. Will some people misuse what you do? Absolutely. Will some people take advantage of you? Uh-huh. You ever taken advantage of Jesus? It's part of it. But we do it anyway. And you remember Jesus said that there were some people who he's going to say, get over here, get away from me, because you never knew me. And they're going to say, what do you mean? And he's going to say, well, I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you... And he's going to say, Lord, when do we ever see you that way? You remember the parable he's telling? And Jesus says, assuredly, I say to you, it as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. And so we look out there and we see people who are crashing and burning in their marriage, who are not knowing how to parent their children. They don't know what to do. They're confused. They go off on the newest pop thing that's out there. And I got to tell you, those pop things make devastating impacts upon society. It doesn't do it in that moment, but it does it decades later when those little ones have grown up. And now they're facing all this mess. And so we need to be involved. So one of the things we want to do is take this. It's because of our care for folks and doing what the Lord said, taking to areas where needs are in people's lives. Now, every church is different. God frames every church to be as different as he frames every person to be as different. And our DNA, our makeup, is different than other congregations. That's fine. We're not in competition. We're in collaboration. God's called us to do something that's different. And so we're involved in that. And this is the thing he's calling us to do. We call this the great compassion. It's the giving of ourselves to other people in this way to meet needs. And then, because this first phase combines these two, the great compassion along with the great commission. You know the great commission, right? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here's the big one. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. I mean, you don't just have people come into the kingdom of God. You share with them what the Lord said. Why? Well, he's concerned that people live life to the fullest. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, he said. And so he wants that coming forth in the lives of people. That only comes as people conform their lives to the way of God, to the way of the kingdom. It doesn't come just because you meet Jesus as Savior. I mean, that's a great thing to do. But he wants there to be a deeper thing in life. Now, we're going to have a second phase. We're not going to talk about this much this morning, maybe just a tad. But the second phase is, the first phase was, you remember what it was? It was care and outreach. The second phase is unburdening and refreshing, where people come with burdens that they're carrying, where they're having struggles, they're having difficulties, and where they get refreshed. They have those burdens lifted and they're refreshed. There's this great passage where Jesus gives this massive call. Listen to what he says. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So we want to unburden people from the burdens that are tearing them down and put them with the burden that will give them life. How can a burden give life? Because it's light and it's proper and it's one that fits us well. You ever seen a rubber band? You have, right? It's only good when it's under tension. Unless it has some tension there, it's not doing its job, right? I mean, it's just sitting in a box. But when it's under tension, it holds things together. We're made to carry a bit of a burden. God made us that way. But you've got to find out what that burden is and not pick up a lot of other mess and not be burdened by stuff that the world's burdened with. But find the Lord's. His is very easy. It's very light. And it fits extremely well. So we want to help people walk in that. So in the second level of the phase, the second phase of what we're going to be doing is providing a place where that can happen. And that one is the one that really starts getting way beyond our ability to accomplish. The third phase is the one that's in the stratosphere. I mean, it's just way out there. Because the third phase is incarnational influence. It's where through going as Jesus' people into this particular setting, we influence folks for the kingdom of God. And Jesus said this. Remember, he's meeting at the day that we had the resurrection. And he's with the disciples. He says this to them. As the Father sent me, even so I'm sending you. Those three verses, those verses, by the way, will be at each one of the points. I mean, those are going to be sort of the focal verses for that. It's sort of like when you're trying to find out what God's will is for you. You need to, first of all, find what God says in the Scriptures, make sure that it's what He wants, right? And then I like to always find a verse that carries that forth, something that I can hang on to. Because there come times when it's difficult. It's always difficult to carry forth things that God wants. Because we have an enemy that seeks to keep it from happening, right? Do you know there's an enemy that's going to, because we're doing this, he's going to try and keep us from doing these things? Do you understand that? Because it could have massive impact within the kingdom of God, and God's calling us to do it, so there's an enemy who's going to try and keep us from doing it. We understand that. We have to go into battle recognizing it. So, we have those three sections, and those are the three phases. I'd like to talk to you specifically about the first phase. In our congregation, we've had a history of seminars. It actually started before the fellowship began. A guy named Roy Putnam, who was a pastor in Greensboro area, started meeting in homes doing what they called home Bible studies, but they were studies around practical aspects of the Word of God. In such a setting, my dad came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That was when I was 15 and made a radical change in his life that I recognized. Later on in their development, they started doing seminars. My mom did a bunch of seminars that were done in different locations. And my dad joined in and did the same thing. So they had this history of seminars. Well, I don't know how much is tied into me, but I think probably a pretty good little bit. Because when we came to the fellowship, you remember what we used to do, those of you who are some long-timers here? We had seminars, right? And we still got the material. We still do those. But we did the journey seminar, then we did spiritual warfare seminar, then we did spiritual ministry seminar and spiritual outreach seminar. And we did a seminar on how to study the Bible. We did a seminar where we went through the Bible, putting it all together. We did a seminar where we dealt with helping people launch into ministry. So we've done all kinds of different seminars. We're going to just continue doing that, we're going to broaden the matter. And we brought people on who've done that. Some of you participated in a seminar that John and Julie and Brad and Shannon did, a marriage seminar that they did in the summer of a couple of years ago, and was very, it was really interesting because the day chosen was a Friday, which is a rough day to carry on something, and it was during the summer months, which is a rough time to carry it on anything. And you know what? The attendance in that was fabulous because people were getting things that were helping in needs. And so we saw that there was, and there's just been a call for doing that for years. So seminars are going to be a driving force of this. On Sunday morning, we'll meet here like we're doing normal. Nothing will change on this. What's going to, except you may have some seminar stuff that you pick up. But what's going to happen is we're going to be seeking to move this off this campus. This campus does not avail itself for us to be able to have classes when we would like to have them, these seminar classes. So we're going to need to find another place for that. And so the plan is to provide topic-appropriate seminars, which will provide godly patterns for the problem situations people experience in their lives. That would be things like we did the authentic manhood, which is just really great. 24 weeks, we're probably dropping down in time and have a little bit different. But it's dealing with guys on issues that guys need to know about. They haven't been taught in years about how to be guys, how to be authentic. Scriptures give us good examples. You mentioned David. David's a great example of a man. I mean, he was a warrior. And God gives us more information on David's life than we have on Jesus' life because he's an example of man. They're godly ladies in the Scriptures who did some amazing things, and we want to pull from their lives and help people understand and get very practical in how you live life. And so we're going to present biblical truth. Then people will get in group interactions. That's where they get in triads, groups of three, and they just talk about stuff. They interact with that. Or we might have activations. Some of you have been in other seminars, understand, where we ask God's Spirit to work upon people, and we actually have them accomplish things right there as they step into giftings God's given them. And also, we want to arrange personal ministry times, using equipped people to share in the lives of those requesting help and further information. That's where a lot of you would come in. Because we're having a seminar and we'd say, hey, you know, Carol, this is a lady over here who needs some help. And I was wondering if you could fit time in to come and do that. Now, the reason I'm picking on Carol is probably, I don't know, what, 2 or 3 years ago, I asked you to go, if you would, 3 years ago, and help me out with somebody. And that somebody was Layla. Because Layla had come into the congregation from a Muslim background. She didn't know the scriptures. And so I asked Carol if she'd go in and help Layla understand about the Bible and about who Jesus is. So Layla took her through the Gospels and took her through Acts. And you're still in Acts right now? Still going through Acts? So understanding about who Jesus is and what the church is all about for a person who had no understanding of that at all. And Carol was able to meet that need and step right into that situation. And so God will have situations for you. Carol had retired, so it made it great for her. Others of us are not retired, but others of us have other life settings and situations where we can fit in. And it'll be the Spirit of God who provides that for us. The facility. The facility needs to be an office location with a large room, which is jointly used by the business and the fellowship. We've done this before. For those who were part of the men's fraternity, we used Banner Pharmaceuticals, and they had a large room that we used. And it was really great. We the guys that met there at 6 o'clock every morning. Some of you blurry-eyed guys I saw early in the morning and could barely make you out. But we were all there. And it went 24 weeks, and the attendance at that was really good from folks within our congregation. They're here now. It was really neat. And it worked well. But the problem was that sometimes you get into discussion about something, and they had a business going on, and we had to get out. And sometimes you didn't get a chance to continue that discussion. And to go to a restaurant or something when you had to go to work in a little bit longer, it would have been nice to be able to stay a little bit longer and do it. So we want to have a facility where we don't have to clear out. So we're asking God to provide that for us. The businesses will rent the place, and then we would seek to use the great room and during non-business hours, like early mornings, evenings, and weekends. And the concept with that is so that it doesn't cost us anything. Because right now we don't have any money. And so we have to pull this off without resources. And that's why we're praying about finding a facility that we can use along that way. People would come in. We need to have a facility. There are a lot of facilities around, but if they're in a neighborhood that's dangerous, I don't know that we really want to use that neighborhood. Does that make sense? Because we'll have ladies' studies. And so ladies would come, and if they're leaving at 9 o'clock at night after they've been in there, we need to have a safe place. It can't be in a place that's threatening. Or for guys, that matter. I mean, we just need to be a place that's safe. It needs to be a place that is not trafficked by other people that they know. Because sometimes people are embarrassed that they're having troubles like this. I don't know why, but some people are. And so rather than, you know, if we have it in a place where other people congregate, they would come in. We also don't want to be in a church, because a lot of the folks we want to reach out to aren't in church settings. And they're going to feel like they've gotten some bad situations about churches, so we want to have a place that's not that. So non-threatening, and that we're never going to go in to see people. They will always know this is Christian. They always know the scriptures coming with it. You understand that? We're not trying to do anything clandestine and wrap people in, but we're trying to make it to where they'd be comfortable in the setting. So we're praying about an office building and asking God to provide us with a place. We actually looked at this building as a possibility. And I sent a letter out to the guy and asked him about it and who owns it, and never heard anything from him. So I don't know what's up with that. We're still praying, just asking God to provide us a place. We'd have seminars like marriage seminars and parenting, finance, authentic manhood. We'd also do spiritual seminars. We do still spiritual warfare and all those different ones. But these would be the ones that we're going to be reaching out with and sharing. The other ones we'll reach out with too, but we'll reach out to a lot of people in churches that are having problems that don't know this. I was talking to a pastor. I was having lunch with him. He was one of my students, and he just said, "I'm having a lot of trouble. Can we get together?" And I said, "Sure." And he'd been in a church setting, they had restricted him in certain areas because of the previous pastor. He couldn't go out and get a second job. They weren't paying him enough to cover. They weren't covering his insurance, health insurance, they wouldn't let him go get another job so he could make enough money to do that. It's just really a problem. And there was basically one person in the congregation who was keeping all this from happening. So he was talking to me, and we were just talking. And so I said, "Well, you ever thought about dealing with a matter in spiritual warfare?" And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, there are demonic forces that are moving in all church settings trying to throw things off. So rather than running the scene, Why don't you take authority over the evil spirits that are working to keep that thing from messing up, from working that way, keep it from moving proper, and just ask God to work in that, and you take authority over it and keep bind up that spirit that's working that way. And he said, that sounds kind of strange to me. And this guy's been pastoring for 2 years in this congregation, right? But he doesn't understand about spiritual warfare. And so I said, well, will you do that? And he said, sure. So he went back and he did that. And 2 weeks later, I get an email from him. And he said, I got to talk with you again because something's happening. Well, he didn't say what, you know, so you don't know whether it's good or bad. But we talked to him, and all of a sudden, transitions are taking place. And the person who was keeping all the problems, keeping it from ever moving forth, was losing his authority among folks for no reason other than he was losing the authority among folks because it was an informal authority. You understand that? Do you understand what I mean by that? He had the authority, but it was informally, and now that was releasing and dropping down. And all of a sudden, things are changing. I mean, drastically changing. And now they've got it on the docket for their next vote to have health insurance for him. He's getting ready to leave the church. And you understand about spiritual warfare. Well, not only do the pastors not. I teach it in the seminary, and I'm the only professor that really deals with it in the seminary. But all my students say, nobody's ever taught us this. Nobody's ever shared this. All I'm teaching them is a spiritual warfare seminar you had. And nobody's ever taught them that material. So I know that there are a lot of people out in the community who don't know that, and they're getting beat up. And they never consider that. That is just not an option of what they consider. So we want to be able to share in those things. So we'll be doing it. So how can you be involved in all this? Let me just share three things that I think you can do, and there's probably more. The first one is that you can share your story with us. As we're doing seminars, give us stories. Because one of the big things, you know what the Bible is? It's a book of stories. Have you ever noticed that? Except for the epistles that are telling us what the stories about Jesus' life means. They're stories. They're all through the Bible, just stories, 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 stories. And stories are, God does that because there's a major impact that happens with stories. You remember how Jesus taught? You know what he used? Yeah, he used, and you know what a parable is? It's a story. And he's just telling these stories. And it comes with really a lot of power when it's a story of something that happened to you. And so as we're sharing in the seminars, if there's something like that, write that down. Talk to us. We'd like to incorporate your stories in those things. Another thing you can do is inform others about the seminars when they start taking place. You can share with them that it's happening. I mean, if we'd have had a marriage seminar on the docket to start up in August or September, you know what Brad would have been able to do with three couples this week? Say, well, listen, you know, we've got something we found has been very helpful. And why don't you come in and grab a hold of this? And so we could do it that way. You can inform others. That'd be family, friends, work people. You know, just and what you do is you don't go up and grab them by the collar and say, you need to take this. What you do is you wait for God to open opportunities. And I tell you, the opportunities will open up. And people will be sharing about hurts and stuff. And you'll say, well, we got a seminar for that. And encourage them to come. And the last is using your own giftings that God's given you. We spent a number of times here over the last weeks talking about the designer gifts that God's given you. That's where you're going to be engaging in those giftings. And we're going to show you how, because we're going to be in the future talking more about each one of those giftings. We're going to take each one of the giftings and go into some training for each one of them. And the reason it doesn't matter what gifting you have, you can come to the other ones, is because everybody's supposed to do everything. Remember that? From that study, everybody's to do all the stuff. It's just God's gifted certain people better than others for certain things. Now then, what I need you to do right now is to do this. I would like for you to, I need the two gals who are here from the Cobb family, if they would help me. There's some brochures right over there on the piano. Could you pass those out for me? Making sure everybody gets one. Thank you very much, ladies. In the brochure, it lists some of the seminars that we'll have and breaks down just some topics that are there. These are not the names, and these are not necessarily all the topics we'll cover. One of the things that I would like you to do in the time when we break out, which is going to be in just a couple minutes, we're going to break into some triads here and talk about some things. I'd like for you to answer me a question. What are other seminars that would meet needs of people today? These are some I think are desperately needed, but I'm sure that there would be others. So what are some of the other ones that you can think about? Or another way to look at that question is this. What additions could be made to the seminars that we've listed here? In other words, you look on a life-giving marriage, where you have, instead of being torn down, you're really getting life from this relationship with each other. Maybe there's an extra area that needs to be covered. These are just some we threw up there, but maybe there are others. And if there are, then you can mention them to us, okay? This is not something that's closed. We'd want input desperately from you guys, because we think that God will work through you to help tighten this up, to make this better. Because we'd really like to make this really, really good. Eventually, the seminars will go on the web, and we'll have them so that people can engage with them in the web. But there's a problem with that. You know what the problem is with it, the web? There's not a person they can talk to right then. When you have a seminar setting, and seminars are going to be kept small. We won't be real, real large. By that, I mean it'll be in the 30s. But it's not going to be 50s. We're not looking for a seminar of 150 people, 3,000 people. That's not what we're doing. We're doing these smaller so that individuals can talk with the people that are the presenters and engage with them. Because that's where a lot of this is going to come from. And then engage with other people. Because what we'd be doing is probably saying, hey, it's been a while since you've been in a marriage seminar. Why don't you come to this seminar? It's going to be like 8 weeks. And why don't you come for that one night, 8 weeks? You can commit to something like that. And you come in, and then you're there so that you can interact with some other people. You know, you can gain stuff for you, but you can also interact with other people. I don't know about you, but you know, it's always good to check up and go back over things. And nobody will hurt having a refresher on the marriage course or finances or any of the other issues. But those will be some of the things that we're looking at. So one of the things I'm asking you to do this morning is I need your input. I would like for you to help me know what are other seminars, other topics is what I'm looking for. What are other topics that would be helpful for people in life that you know? And what other things would you add to some of the seminars that we have? And here's the second thing. And this is another big question. What are matters we need to pray about to accomplish this phase? Do you understand the question? What do you think? After hearing what I said, because I know what I think they are. What do you think are areas we need to pray about in order for this phase to come into existence? And I'd like a list, because those lists are going to be things we're going to start publishing for us to pray about in the congregation. Because this isn't going to happen because it's me. It's going to happen because it's us, and it's the way God's moving us, and it's God going to be carrying this forth. So I'd like for you to do that, and we're going to break into tries to do that. And as we do that, I would like for you, somebody, to record that. I have some sheets over here, and my ladies, again, will help me. But we'll get into the groupings before you help me. We'll get into the groupings before you help me, okay? And every grouping, I need to have a sheet so you can record some of this stuff, okay? Because I'd like to have it. I'd like the feedback. We'll ask the feedback from you immediately, and we'll ask you to make some verbal responses. But I'd like to have the sheets so that I have the things there. So anything that pops into your brain, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to take every suggestion that's given, but we're going to look at every suggestion that's given. And quite frankly, I think more than not, we'll be thinking those are good things. So would you all help us in doing that? We would need that. So I'm going to ask God to help you as you're helping us to fit this thing into the vision that He's given us for reaching out to folks within our community. Lord, we thank You that You've called us to be a different kind of body. And we thank You that You have made us to where we can be flexible and we can move and aren't hampered by a lot of other things. And we thank You, Lord, for these people who are here. We thank You that Your Spirit lives within them. And we thank You that You can direct through Your people ideas for us as they share. Would You now, by Your Spirit, work within their minds and help them to come to things that they can list forth properly? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Those of you, by the way, who have the gift of leadership, you're going to have a lot of suggestions on the second one. What are matters we need to pray about? What are things we need to do? They're just going to come to you. So you give those to us, okay? Everybody gets involved. Leadership's going to be pulling those out because that's some of the giftings they have. All right. We're going to break into triads.